Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We observe today not a victory of party, but a celebration of freedom.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
The Human Zoo, where they don't hide away the sick animals.
Dangerous mid-morning debate with the great dictator.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Stand to attention when I'm talking to you!
On Talk Radio.
Dismiss!
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. It's another bad day at the office with Prime Minister Theresa May as the storm clouds continue to gather and a no-confidence vote gets closer and closer. In the last hour, government whips have been told to stay in Westminster and cancel all engagements for the day, triggering the likelihood of a leadership challenge possibly as early as today. We'll be taking the temperature down at Westminster with MP Andrew Bridgen and Talk Radio's political editor Ross Kempsel, just for starters. 0344 499 1000. That's not all, though. We'll be doing something else as well. Dawn Neeson is here and she'll be telling us about a new police speed camera that can film you from 1,000 metres away. Plus, we'll go down under ahead of I'm a Celebrity, which kicks off this weekend as well. 0344 499 1000 is the number you need to get hold of us on. And as if all that isn't enough, we'll have another thrilling episode of the Perrier Awards, a weekly homage to my broadcasting brilliance, presented as ever by Dawn Neeson. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, and Dawn Neeson on Talk Radio.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Well, Dawn, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And it's been quite a 24 hours, hasn't it?
I've got a headache. I have got such a... I thought by the end of yesterday my head was going to explode.
Yes.
I really couldn't take any more.
Yes.
I just, honestly, I really didn't know what was happening anymore.
Well,
anywhere.
Luckily, you're not alone in that.
No.
And we're going to try and navigate our way through
Please.
The choppy waters of Westminster, because it's not just about Brexit anymore.
No.
It's now about the future of the Prime Minister, about the future of the Tory party. It's about the future of the country, the government, everything.
Yeah, more importantly, it's about the future of the country. It's about all our futures as well.
Yes.
And I just don't know what's going on. And
no.
I want someone to give me an idiot's guide, because
yes.
I am an idiot about what
You're
is going on.
You're certainly not an idiot, otherwise you wouldn't be sitting here. However, however, we will be getting all sorts of idiot's guides for everybody to try and figure out. For example, what does happen if, in fact, there is a no-confidence motion triggered? What does then happen for Prime Minister Theresa May? Does she step down? Does she have to run for election once again in the party if she gets the vote of no confidence? We'll be finding out that, plus the answers to many other questions as well. Let's go straight now, though, down to Westminster, because Andrew Bridgen is a Tory MP for North West Leicestershire. We spoke to Andrew last week, funnily enough, and a lot of people said what sense he made. So let's see what he's got to say about all of this. Andrew, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike. I'm actually in Leicestershire. I'm in my constituency.
Oh, are you?
I'm not in Westminster.
Interesting, because we've seen today, this morning, in the last hour or so, that all government whips have been told to basically stay in London or return to London if in fact, they have left. What does that mean to you?
Well, I've heard these rumours as well. Well, it would suggest that the 48 letters could well have been triggered.
Right.
That will mean that there will be a confidence motion vote in the Prime Minister.
Okay.
Graham Brady will have informed Number 10 of this, if this is correct. It's not been confirmed yet. But I would suspect then that we'll be having a vote either Monday or Tuesday. The rules are at the first convenient time. Well, that's not going to be at the weekend. It's going to be when Parliament's sitting. And that will be a confidential ballot, a secret ballot in Committee Room 14.
Right, and that would be a secret ballot for all Tory MPs, presumably. And do they put their X on a little bit of paper? How does that work?
Yes, it'll be a ballot paper with a pencil and ballot boxes in Committee Room 14,
right,
run by the 1922 Committee.
And in order for there to be found no confidence in the Prime Minister, is it a simple majority that she needs? Or
a
that
simple
you need?
Majority, well... Either way, it's 158 votes would be needed either for confidence or no confidence in the Prime Minister.
Right.
If that's the case, if the no confidence votes were more than 158, that means that the Prime Minister would be barred from taking part in the leadership election. If she gets more than 158, then she can try and carry on.
Right. So what happens then if it is a vote of no confidence, Andrew? What does then happen? Can anyone put their name in the arena?
Yes, It's a very low bar. I think it's only two MPs that need to second you, and you're in.
Wow.
So, given the way these things normally happen, I mean, people will be positioning. People who probably think they've got no chance of being prime minister, but want to show that they have some support. And I would expect it could be quite a wide field.
No, so indeed.
How long could this go on for then?
Well, normally, and they don't happen that often, the 1922 committee would run a ballot where all the candidates would stand to start with, and then the one who gets the least votes is knocked out at each stage. That depends on the number of candidates, how long that takes to go, with several days normally between votes. Obviously, that could be truncated. And then when you get down to the last two candidates, that then goes out to the membership, and the membership of the Conservative Party would then vote on the last two candidates.
So, I mean, just to an ordinary punter like me, this just sounds a lot of fiddling while Rome is burning around us. I mean, how much longer have we got to mess around with this Brexit?
Well, do you want a quick answer or do you want the right answer? at the end of the day, you can't probably have both. Well, it's clear that, I mean, I think Theresa May's draft withdrawal agreement, which is based on the Chequers proposals. I mean, Chequers only ever had about 10% of the population of UK supporting it. The draft withdrawal agreement, but due to further concessions to the EU, is even worse than Chequers. So that's just not a go, and it's not going to go through Parliament. So we need another route. And I'm afraid the Prime Minister seems absolutely determined to hang on to Chequers proposals like it's some sort of political life belt, when actually it's the lodestone that's dragging her down. So if we can't get rid of Chequers, Chuck Chequers, I'm afraid we have to remove the Prime Minister.
So, Andrew, would you rather see a no deal rather than this deal?
Oh, well, no deal was far better. No deal's not no deal. It's WTO. That would be a clean Brexit. We wouldn't have to pay over the £39 billion. Can you imagine if the Conservative government had £39 billion to spend on the NHS, defence, schools, the police, and tax cuts? I mean, that is a huge war chest. And currently we're paying over this £39 billion under the withdrawal agreement. It was originally going to be for the free trade deal, and it is actually to get talks on a free trade deal where we're actually going to get trapped in a backstop when the transition period runs out, that we're paying for as well, £20 billion. And we're never going to get let out of it. At least currently under the Article 50 system that we're in, the procedure to leave the European Union, we can leave the European Union. Under the withdrawal agreement, when we get stuck in the backstop, we actually need the European Union's permission to leave the backstop, to leave the European Union. I mean, we don't even seem in 2 years to have negotiated being able to leave the European Union.
But what makes you think, Andrew, and we know that you've come out and said you're one of those who's written a letter expressing no confidence in the Prime Minister, what makes you think that we can get a better deal or somebody can get a better deal with Brussels after this one's already been agreed?
That's very simple, Mike. That's because we've still got the money.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, what are you saying? It's just it's sort of inadequate and incompetent sort of negotiating that's caused us to reach this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One thing you never do in negotiations is place the head of your organisation as the negotiator, which Theresa May did. When you negotiate through a negotiator, the head of the organisation, the negotiator can always say, hang on, that's above my pay grade, I need to go back and consult, I need a time out. Whereas when you place yourself as the head of the organisation as the negotiator, you give away all those advantages of negotiation. Well, can you tell me one thing that the EU has conceded on that we've actually achieved for promising £39 billion staying in a customs union, which will actually keep us as a captive market for EU goods, which are overpriced on the world stage, in perpetuity? Of course the EU aren't going to let us out of that.
No, well, indeed. I mean, I was asked this question yesterday by somebody, Andrew, and I said, well, surely it's better to start from a position somewhere rather than to have this kind of endless negotiating. Because if you went to go back, and I'm not against getting a better deal at all, and I'm not against getting rid of Theresa May either. However, if it all just leads to no possible gain, if you like, you know, and it's a bit like the First World War where you spend all day fighting and you haven't moved an inch, you know, is there any point in not just getting on with what we have and trying to then renegotiate as you go?
Well, there's no way. Once that deal's been signed, it's a treaty. The EU aren't going to let us out of it. That's the whole point. The EU are currently saying they wouldn't renegotiate with anybody. Well, they would say that because they're currently sitting on what's potentially a very, very advantageous deal for the European Union. But the answer is, we've still got the money.
But everything that's been said so far, Andrew, on both sides, has changed over time. I mean, nothing that has actually been said has ever actually been fulfilled.
That's why the letters of no confidence are going in, Mike. I mean, Theresa May has consistently said, you know, we're leaving the European Union. Yeah. Brexit means Brexit. We're leaving the single market, the customs union, the jurisdiction of the European Court of Justice. And you have to bear in mind that under this withdrawal agreement, any disputes over the actions of either party are subject to rulings by the European Court of Justice. I mean, that's the EU marking their own homework and ours. I mean, it's ridiculous how you could sign up for a deal like that. It's not the Brexit we promised the British people, and it's not the best outcome of Brexit either for the country, which is really important. And this is bigger than prime ministers or MPs or backbenchers or anybody. This is about the future of our country. It is a treaty, the future relationship with the European Union. Is something that will be in a treaty which will probably, could well be enacted. It'll affect our grandchildren and their grandchildren, and we have to get it right. And this is not the deal for our country.
The problem, you mentioned the grandchildren, is that the younger generation don't want to leave the EU, full stop.
We haven't sold it to them what the options are. The European Union is fairly close to us. It's 30 miles over the channel. The Britain that I see, when we're a global trader and do free trade deals, the US want to do a free trade deal with us, the biggest economy in the world, our old allies, Australia, New Zealand, India and China. We'll be able to have reciprocal deals with these countries that will allow our young people to go and work in America for 4 or 5 years, come back, bring those ideas, Australia, New Zealand. We have no language barriers whatsoever. This is a world of opportunity for our young people.
Yeah, but what about if they want to go and work in Spain or France or Italy and speak a foreign language?
Well, we'll still be able to travel there as well. We're going to have, you know, we're still going to be the biggest market for EU goods after we've left the European Union. We have a huge trade imbalance with the EU. It's the only part of the world where we do have a trade imbalance. We sell more to the rest of the world than we buy from them. Effectively, the European Union is a protectionist racket, which means that UK consumers are paying more than they need to do for their goods. That's why they want to keep us in the customs union, because they want to keep that huge market of the UK only really available, tariff-free, to overpriced EU goods in perpetuity.
And if this whole process gets underway today, which it may well do in terms of the vote of no confidence, have you got a particular person in mind as far as who you'd prefer to see as Prime Minister? Is there somebody that you would back at this point, or are you going to wait and see who's standing?
Well, I think given the track record of Theresa May, who campaigned for Remain and voted Remain, it's pretty clear to me that if we want to deliver the Brexit that the British people voted for and that our country deserves, we've got to elect as Prime Minister someone who backed the Leave campaign. You have to remember, Mike, it's an old adage and it's absolutely true. In life, you don't get what you deserve. You only ever get what you negotiate.
Indeed. And Michael Gove at the moment seems to be rather sitting on the fence, doesn't he? Because we're told he was offered...
I think he's in an invidious position, isn't he? I mean, he's been offered to replace Dominic Raab as Brexit secretary.
Right, as the sort of phantom negotiator, because the previous, you know, Dominic Raab and David Davis, it would appear, neither one of whom was actually negotiating Brexit.
No, it was all done through Number 10, and if we're to believe what's in the papers, Michael Gove has said his condition for taking the job is he wants to go back and renegotiate the deal. So clearly, Michael Gove has no confidence in the current draft withdrawal agreement. That, for me, makes his position untenable.
Yes, it does. But why is he saying now that he will not resign? Because surely this is now his opportunity. If he's not willing to form part of the Brexit negotiating team, and he's not willing to be part of Theresa May's cabinet any longer in the job that she wants him to do, surely he should resign and then stand against her, shouldn't he?
Well, he certainly should. In my view, he should resign because he has no confidence in the Prime Minister's flagship policy, which is how we're going to leave the European Union. To be honest, I'm struggling to find anybody, whether they supported Leave or supported Remain, who likes this deal. I mean, it's amazing. The Prime Minister does seem to have united the country all against her policy.
Yes. But so you haven't yet given me a name, though, for who you'd back to be Prime Minister, because that's quite an important question in a way, because if you're going to ask to replace the Prime Minister,
exactly.
You must have an idea of who it should be that takes the job.
Well, obviously, I've got my own views, and I've expressed them that I think it's got to be someone who has supported the Leave campaign and believes in Brexit. But I'm not going to get into naming names. I've said on various media outlets when I've been pressed on this that, you know, I've got a terrible track record of picking who's going to be the next Prime Minister. In 2005, I backed David Davis and David Cameron won. And in 2016, I backed Boris Johnson and Andrea Leadsom after Boris fell out of the race. And obviously, Theresa May won. But, I mean, look where we are now.
Well, indeed. Well, maybe you should go the other way and pick somebody you don't like and then maybe see who else will win in case of that.
I always think it's very dangerous to vote for someone you don't want to win.
No, it's absolutely right. Let me allow you to get out of this one gracefully, Andrew. Do you believe that whoever you do have in mind will do a better job as Prime Minister than Theresa May?
Yes, I do. And more importantly, they'll do a better deal for the country than we've got. And quite honestly, that won't be difficult to get a better deal than the current draft withdrawal agreement, which isn't going to go through Parliament anyway. Mm. It hasn't got the votes. The only way that that could go through is if Theresa May persuaded Jeremy Corbyn to back her on this, and that would split the Conservative Party.
Yes. Mm. Well, I mean, the future of the Conservative Party is up for grabs at this point, because this could destroy it, Andrew.
Well, we'll call it renewal, shall we, Mike? You have to remember that the Conservative Party is the longest-running and most successful political party in the world, and I want... And that's
doesn't look like it from here.
Well, you know, it's always darkest before dawn, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Quite literally.
So you're talking about the Conservative Party 2.0, are you? Is that what we're talking about here?
Oh, there have been many. I mean, I've seen prime ministers come and prime ministers go while I've been an MP, and you know, once the decision's been made and we've got a new prime minister, you'll be very surprised how everyone unites around that prime minister, and it's sort of, you know, the queen is dead, long live the king.
Yes. Or queen.
King.
Or queen.
Interesting you said king. Andrew, can I just ask one final thing? Tory voters are opposed to Theresa May being disposed. So what do you say to that? I mean, you do seem to be alienating your voters.
Well, I think that was a bit of a push poll at the Daily Mail, which has suddenly, under its new editor, become the main newspaper. I mean, apparently they lost 10,000 readers last month, and I think they're going to lose an awful lot more. I should imagine the Daily Telegraph are rubbing their hands together with glee.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. Mm. Very well put. Andrew, thank you very much indeed.
Andrew
Bridget, Conservative MP for North West Leicestershire, in Leicestershire at the moment, because he's not in London, where it's all happening, because we are now led to believe that there will be a vote of no confidence brought against Theresa May.
Yep.
We've just heard Andrew Bridget there explaining that means there'll probably be a vote sometime next week. This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. You know what to do. This is Talk Radio, so what you're going to do is call us, 0344 499 1000. A couple of people are being a bit pedantic about the distances involved in this story.
Yeah, it's a kilometre, not a mile.
And a few other people, are saying 1,000 metres is 0.621 of a mile,
to
be accurate.
Yeah, it's a kilometre.
Right? No, well, 1,000 metres is a kilometre, isn't it?
Yes,
I mean, you know
exactly,
that.
Yeah.
That's why it's called a kilometre.
Yeah, but I was reading this quickly here, and I saw the one, and
well, it says nearly a mile in
nearly
the story.
Nearly a mile, yeah, but it is 0.62, so
60,
it's nearly a mile.
60% of a mile is probably not quite nearly a mile.
Yeah.
But it's still a long way away.
Right,
it still
okay.
means that if there's a guy...
If you're going to pull me on it, at least phone me and pull me on it.
I don't think anybody's having a go at you, Dawn.
Yes,
I think you should be less paranoid. Stop taking it so personally.
I am taking it personally. Come on.
For heaven's sake, let's talk to Dave, who is a Leave supporter in Dudley. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Oh, hiya.
How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. And yourself?
Yeah, very well indeed. What do you want to say?
I just think everybody's going on about Theresa May's deal being bad. I actually think appeases everybody. It appeases Remainers. We get certain things that they want. It appeases the main concerns of Leave, which was leaving the customs union and the single market.
Right.
And I think what she's done, and I think she's trying to bring the country together to go ahead like doing. I think it's quite. I was an ardent Leave supporter. I put placards everywhere.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I actually campaigned for Leave, putting leaflets for everybody's door. And I think she's done. For what she's up against, I think she's doing really well.
Blimey, well said,
Dave.
It's
wrong. Yeah, because I think it's wrong what everybody's doing. Like, I mean, I think there's no deal actually been done yet. The next 2 years are going to proceed and we're going to get the deal done then. So everybody's harping on about what's been agreed and what's not agreed. Nothing's been agreed still yet. It's only a withdrawal agreement.
So, Dave,
I mean, the real negotiating is going to start now.
Exactly. Dave, what is your opinion then of this vote of no confidence?
I don't agree with it, really. I think she's doing a really good job with what she's got, and I think it's wrong that Brexit ministers are resigning, like, I mean, because they should be staying in cabinet to still be pushing the Brexit course, like, do you know what I mean? And I think they're wrong to be resigning from it. Mm. And I can see what, I think a lot of it's got to do with Theresa May's advisers and trying to keep people out of it, because she wants what's best for the country. So she's trying to appease both parties, and she doesn't want other people getting involved, really.
And what about, you know, you see these stories all the time, Dave, now of how, you know, an awful lot of people who voted to leave now don't want to because they understand that it's far more complicated than they thought it was going to be. You sound as though you still want to leave and you're pretty sure about it.
Yeah, and I don't know anybody who voted leave that has changed their mind. And they say it was all down to the older generation. Well, I'm only 50.
Right.
You know, and I've got my children, three of my children are voting age, and like early 20s, they all voted to leave.
Yeah.
Did they? Interesting.
It's not just an old person's or middle-aged. It's people, how they're dealt with in society. And I run my own business as well, a fabrication business. And I employ a couple of Albanian lads. I've got a Serb lad. I've got a Romanian. Everybody said it's all to do with racism. I'm not racist in any way whatsoever. Like, some of my best friends are Eastern Europeans, right? Do you know what I mean? So it's totally wrong what we've been labelled. I've been called racist in the street because I've got... In the campaign, I had a massive vote leave covering the whole of my back window in my car, and right. I used to be called race and everything. You have no idea how wrong these people are. Like, it's nothing to do with race, nothing whatsoever.
I think you're absolutely right.
No, I agree.
Listen, very well said, Dave, because I think
the problem is that,
you know, a lot of people like the Alistair Campbells of this world, you know, the spin doctors will put these pieces of information out there. That guy Femi that we had on the radio the other day, you know, they all come out with all this stuff which is meant to be a truism, and it's not.
I think it's just, they make everything so divisive.
They do.
And tribal.
And
it's far and away
the most divisive people have been the Remainers.
Yes.
And the Ramoners and the people who say, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, you didn't know what you were voting for, you're racist. You know, they're basically, it's a class thing.
I think it is a class thing.
Middle class Remainers.
As well as feeling confused and having a headache, I feel I'm being patronised. I feel like they don't actually really care about me. And I'm not sure they care about the country. I'm sure they care about themselves. That's pretty much all I'm sure at the moment.
Exactly. Dave, thanks very much indeed
for
your call. Dave, a very, very good call that, because not only showing up the idea and the myth, in fact.
Interesting.
That, in fact, loads of people who were young voted to remain because they wanted to stay in Europe. That's not entirely true. Also not entirely true that people who did vote leave now think they should change their mind and want to stay in. Also not true. And he also says, even though he does want to leave, he's quite happy with this deal.
Yeah.
And he's quite happy for Theresa May to keep going through it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
You and I both enjoy a little bit of shopping, and there's no any secret about that,
well,
particularly
actually,
from bargains,
no,
right?
No, you're wrong, because I hate shopping.
Do you?
See? So you
Why
don't
do you
know
hate
everything,
shopping?
Mike Graham. I hate shopping with
you
a passion.
You hate shopping?
I hate shopping.
Do you like anything?
Bores
apart
me rigid.
From cycling?
I quite like you.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that nice? I don't believe you, though. think you're just saying that.
Vote no confidence.
Yeah, vote no confidence in the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. See, we don't allow that kind of thing. We just sort of run it like a dictatorship. Well, like all good places should be
run. I like being told what to do.
Do you? Well, that's another story altogether. That's not what I've heard either, by the way. But anyway, here we are once again affecting a sale, a super sale.
It's a super sale.
Something that used to be only in America, right? Something that we now seem to have imported. It was originally Black Friday after the Thanksgiving Thursday
holiday. You know
more
about this because you've done the American
thing.
Yeah,
well, I've not only done the American thing. I married an American. I lived in America. I got married in America, funnily enough, in New York. And so Thanksgiving is a big holiday there. It's the biggest holiday, much bigger than Christmas, because it's not denominational. Everybody does it, no matter what religion they are. So Friday was the day that everybody went to the shops, trampled over one another to try and get the TV for $100.
Right.
Nowadays, we do it here.
Yes.
I don't understand why. We don't do Thanksgiving.
Me neither. Why do we import this?
Why do we import sort of the Friday shopping, but not the Thursday Thanksgiving holiday?
It's just...
Where you eat turkey.
Exactly. It's just an excuse to flog us more tat that we don't know we need it.
But what we're seeing already is a load of adverts in the papers. And in fact, last weekend, I bought something from an electrical store. I'm not going to name it just because I don't want to give them any free publicity. But they sold me something that I was going to buy for Christmas for my other half, for half price of what it should have been. So, I mean, already it seems like they're absolutely rinsing us and making as much money as possible. People are getting Amazon alerts every five seconds.
I've had to turn my phone off.
Have you? Well, that's because it rings when you're sitting
here. Yeah, because I'm rubbish in here
as well. Let's talk to Paul Mitchell, who's a retail expert, because this is now getting ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, when I bought my thing at the weekend, last weekend, they said, if you register on the website and the price goes down on Black Friday, you can get a refund on what you paid for it now.
And Black Friday isn't until actually next Friday.
No, that's right.
That's right, isn't it? Yeah.
It's right. Well, it's usually the third Friday of the month, I believe. Let's find out from Paul what is going on out there. Paul, a very good afternoon to you.
Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon, Black Friday.
Huh? Yeah, well,
it's the most ridiculous import that we've had from America. Mm. It's great for consumers. It's terrible for retailers.
Well, I was going to say, the amount of money that they must lose on this whole thing, why would they make it go on for longer than they actually need to?
Well, I think the problem is it stems from the woes on the high street and the deep discounting that we're seeing. You know, let's face facts. Anybody can sell 50p. Anybody can sell a quid for 50p.
Yeah.
You know, as they say in retailing, you know, turnover is vanity, profit is sanity. If you cannot sell goods at full price and make your full margin in the golden quarter in the run-up to Christmas, what is the point? The problem is we're stuck with it now, and consumers have been educated to wait for the discounts, to hold back their spend, and sadly, you know, for retailers, they have to react to that.
Is it a kind of mass hysteria they've got themselves involved in? Because, I mean, I remember the good old days of the sort of Christmas sales, and you'd wait till January, and if you were really, really, really poor...
If you look at it, you know, we've had Black Friday now for 5 years. Yeah. Now, if you look to a couple of years before Black Friday started in the UK, it was the years, if you recall, when we had snow on the ground virtually every day in December. Now... what happened then was the retailers got very nervous and went on mass sale before the Christmas period, before Boxing Day. Yeah. And they started deep discounting early in December. Black Friday then started, which was the American import. It was kind of Amazon and Walmart, Asterix, you know, embraced it. We saw those scenes on our televisions, didn't we, for the first year where they were fighting in Asda's over televisions, etc. And everybody moved with the pack. And what, you know, retailers did inadvertently was educate consumers to hold back their spend. And that's what they've done. Mm. So, sadly, we're stuck with it now. And the problem is we've lost 85,000 jobs on the high street. The high street's in decline. And we're telling people that go and shop on your high street because, you know, people want the experience. People want the knowledge, you know, etc. The customer service. Yet, all this does, Black Friday does, is educate people on price. People aren't wanting the experience. They aren't wanting the service. They're wanting the discount.
But isn't, if you're a canny retailer, isn't there a thing where you can put your price up just for a few days before Black Friday and then take it back off again and pretend it's a huge discount for punters?
There are actually laws against that. So, no, is the reality. But, you know, there's some amazing statistics here. And I think Mike mentioned it in his own, he was about to buy an item. But, you know, he saw it, you know, that he would have bought probably in a few weeks' time in the run-up to Christmas at full price, start pricing Black Friday. you know, the margin for the retailers lost. So some of the statistics are quite incredible. You know, 2 in 5 people are holding the, you know, held their money back for Black Friday, or should we say, you know, Black November, really. You know, and of those, you know, one in five of them would have made the purchase anyway. So, you know, at a time where retailers are really struggling with increasing costs through increases in wages, increases in rent, increases in business rates, you know, and losing market share, you know, with spend migrates to online, they're actually giving away margin through Black Friday.
And how does this affect the actual manufacturers as opposed to the retailers themselves? Because presumably, you know, they're also losing money, aren't they?
Well, it's a hard one because the really, really big retailers will go to their manufacturers and they will agree special deals on products, etc., in the run-up to Black Friday. So it'll be a kind of a joint hit, so to speak. But this then puts pressure on the small independent retailers, because they're sat there in their shops, they're waiting for the spend. They feel that they have to join in on the event, you know, or they're not seeing any money coming through the tills, but they don't have the same margins to play with. So,
no.
You know, it's a vicious circle and it's a dangerous one.
It really is.
So how do we stop it now, though? I mean, the genie's out of the bottle, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think you can.
Well, I think the problem is like you say, the genie's out of the bottle, and inadvertently, you know, the retailers are the author of their own misfortune because they've educated the consumer to hold back their spend. They know that the retailers will react by deep discounting. So I don't think you can stop it unless all the retailers en masse decide to boycott Black Friday. I think it's here to stay.
Mm.
And does that mean that the sort of the post-Christmas sales are less important now to retailers, or that they'll maybe stop happening?
Well, I think this year it's going to be interesting because, I've seen some statistics bandied around saying that this Black Friday event will, you know, this year will contribute about £10 billion. So, you know, 1 in every £10 spent in this quarter will be through the Black Friday event. I'm not sure it's going to be, as well received as in other years, because, you know, let's face facts. If you look at John Lewis, for argument's sake, and I think I spoke to you about that, you know, when their profits were completely wiped out, their profits were completely wiped out because of their price promise by price matching, because there has been so much discounting on the high street this year, given the woes that the retailers are facing.
Mm.
So we're already, you know, seeing very, very deep discounting this year. So, you know, there's been bargains to be had all year.
Well, I'm looking at TVs that they're currently advertising in the papers today. I mean, the idea that you could now buy a Hitachi 43-inch smart 4K Ultra HD TV for $279.99 is extraordinary. Isn't
well, it?
It
is extraordinary, isn't it? You know, I was in a well-known high street retailer this morning, you know, and the Black Tag event had started. They dropped the Friday and called it Black Tag so they can get 2 weeks out of it.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's just going to stay for the whole month of November isn't it?
And into December, because the sales do start earlier and earlier. Mm. They don't wait till after Christmas now. Most of them do launch their sales before
Christmas.
Do you know,
Paul, whether the division between online shopping and actual going to the shop shopping has changed or is changing as a result of these types
of
things?
Well, I think it has. And I think if you look at it when Black Friday first started, you know, the television crews were outside the shops. They were queuing up at 5 a.m.
Yeah, people were fighting over stuff.
Wasn't that embarrassing?
They were fighting. There were scrums. And then last year, you know, there was nobody outside,
right.
You know, but the spend is still there. And I think now it's beginning to become more of an online. You know, and I think the reason why it started earlier is because the likes of Amazon have started earlier. So the rest of the retailers have had to follow suit.
Mm.
So, you know, it's all really relatively bad news for retailers and the high street. And it's only going to accelerate the decline of the high street, but, you know, it's great for the consumer.
No, it really is. Well, in my case, I did what a lot of people now do, because you're not sure if they're going to have the thing that they're actually advertising, is you order it and you click and collect it.
Click and collect.
And so you see an awful lot of people now going into shops. I mean, the other thing I see a lot of whenever I'm in a department store, for example, is people bringing stuff in to give back to them they've bought online.
Mm.
So suddenly the whole shopping experience has changed, you know? Paul.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. It's an expensive way of retailing, isn't it? Because, you know, it's okay with click and collect if you're a supermarket, because you'll hope you'll click, come and collect your item.
And buy something else.
Your weekly shop. Yeah. But if all you're doing is returning items and then getting in your car and going home, you know, these shops are expensive to run. And yeah, you're effectively an expensive post office, aren't you?
Well, exactly.
I must admit, I make a point of not buying anything on Black Friday or the week before Black Friday, really? Or after, because I just feel like I'm being conned. Uh-huh. I know Paul said there are laws.
Well, not really.
Against...
I mean, you're not being conned. You're getting something for less money.
I just feel like, it's normally stuff I don't realise I even want in the first place. And let's face it, who hasn't brought a kitchen gadget of one description or another on a Black Friday thing? Ooh,
well,
that's
we were
really
talking about coffee machines. You haven't got a coffee machine,
and then
right?
stick it in the cupboard and never use it.
Well, maybe you would make it.
I think you make a really good point, because in my mind, there is no doubt Black Friday drives debt, because we get so wrapped up in 50% off, 70% off. And, you know, before we know it, we've bought the item before asking ourselves, do we actually need it?
No.
Well, certainly what I wouldn't say you need is a £350 Hoover, which you can now buy from Dyson. That's in the sale, by the way. Paul, thanks very much indeed. Paul Mitchell,
thank you, Paul.
Retail expert. Yeah, in that same sale where you can buy a television for £349, you can buy a Hoover for £349.
Why would you do that?
That's ridiculous,
isn't it? Why would you even do that?
I bought a new Hoover the other day, because I was ordered to buy a new Hoover by my cleaner. I only spent £100 on it, so I hope it's good. Now, let's have a quick word with Brian, who's in Chorley, Lancashire.
Hello, Brian.
Brian, a very good afternoon to you.
Hi.
Hello, what do you want to say? I'm very well, thank you. What would you like to tell us?
Yeah, good. I was just listening earlier about your Black Friday.
Yeah.
The only thing to listen to, Brian, come on.
And it made me laugh, because I have this debate with my wife all the time. It isn't actually illegal what retailers do. I used to be a retail manager in large retail stores, and it's called sale-buy, effectively. It's not very ethical, I don't think, but you buy items and you bury them in the back of a distant store for a period of something like 60 days.
Yeah.
And then they put them on at a first day of sale or something like a Black Friday and say it's 50% discount. But the reality is your selling price was never going to be anything really other than the 50% discount price. And people fall for it in their drawers. It's a fantastic marketing ploy. But you're not really saving 50%.
So, Brian, I was right. I actually knew more than the retail expert.
that's correct.
Marvellous.
If you actually read the small print on most of these ads, it actually tells you that was on sale for 60 days in 3 stores in the UK. And that would be like one of your large supermarket retailers.
Where do they hide it? Just somewhere where no one can find it?
Well, it's not very obvious. It's not like not on display.
You would actually, you don't even put them out into stores. A lot of it sits in warehouses. So if you bought 10,000 units of, say, a music system of some sort, you would sort of bury about 9,500. You'd leave 9,500 in the warehouse, put 500 of them out into small stores, bury them in the back of a shelf somewhere. Any sales you would get on those would be a bonus. But then you then put them out and they all arrive the day before the sale.
And are they making money on these items then or not, would you say?
Yep. You buy them at, you know, retail markup. You would never really sell anything for less than 50% markup.
Really?
So if you were selling something for £100, you would have bought it for at least 50.
Right.
But then you would have sold it for £200 and those X amount of stores buried for a period of time, and then you say it's now half price.
Well, that's 400% markup, isn't it? If you're buying it for 50 and selling it for 200.
Yeah. But you would only sell a very small proportion of those, because they're buried and they're quite expensive at that point.
So then you say it's only £100 now and you're still making double. That's
correct.
Not bad, is it?
So I've always said,
well, I mean, if it was that easy, Brian, why are so many of these people going out of business?
I'm not in retail anymore.
There you go. So you can't answer that question. Listen, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, Brian.
In Chorley, Lancashire.
The 2018 Perrier Awards on Talk Radio.
Sorry, folks, just twiddling the wrong knob there.
not for the first time.
No, tell me about it. Right. Okay, I've got the volume right now. Okay. Yeah, it's time for this. That's right. Each Friday, we cast our ears back over the past 7 days of the so-called so independent... Cool. I need to change this script.
Well, change it.
It's like...
Feel free to change it.
I'm going to do it for now, okay? Right. Our brilliant producer today has done a good job on this. So-called independent Mike Graham and choose our favourite moments. Let's see who has won this week. And you might not be shocked to hear, Si, that the first Perrier goes to Mike Graham.
Fantastic.
We listened live to Theresa May's speech in the Commons yesterday, and for that, he wins Commentary of the Week. Mm.
So, Mr. Speaker, the choice
Theresa
is...
Theresa May speaking in the Houses of Parliament right now. This is Talk Radio. No, she says we're battling on. She says we're not going to stop. But not everybody's convinced.
Groundbreaking stuff there, Mike.
It's difficult to know when to get in there, you see,
exactly,
because
for
ages she didn't stop at all.
No.
For breath, right?
No.
And then suddenly when I decided to say something, she then
she jumped
stopped.
In, see? That's
shocking.
How politics works,
I
right?
I know, unbelievable.
Reaction of the week goes to Mike from York.
Well, there aren't any UKIP voters left.
He's Yorking.
He almost...
He was just on.
He was. He's a great caller. He almost woke me up then, actually, by the way. He did sort of screech on that one, didn't he, right? Oh, my God. Somebody else wins one. Katie wins this award for probably not the most creative insult of the week.
Well, Dawn, who's coming in here, I think, on Thursday, she tracks her husband. She wants to know where he is all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a clue. I don't need to know.
No, I don't think you want to know, do you?
What's the point? You go home and you say, darling, how was your day?
How was your day,
You want to know what they've done, not, I know how your day was. You checked out at Tesco at 12:30.
And then you went to the
pub.
And
you checked into the pub at 12:45.
And then you went to the pub.
And you had dinner in there.
Yeah.
So don't make out you haven't eaten today, because you already have had a burger and chips, you
exactly.
fatty.
That's why she doesn't do it, obviously.
Yeah, see, I think she secretly does want to know there,
maybe.
I think.
Maybe.
I think she's protesting too much there, Katie, love. Right, another Perrier for you, Mike. Oh, what a shock.
Thank you.
What is it you were trying to say? Here's your most interesting pronunciation of the week.
You know, you're normally used to laying wreaths in places where the temperature is a lot warmer. You know, that whole debacle over the Hamas. Debacle? What's
debacle.
Wrong with that? What's wrong with debacle? Do you not say it that way?
No, funny.
What do you say?
No, I'm not saying nothing. I'm moving.
You said debacle or something.
I'm moving swiftly on, mate. Right,
debacle,
okay.
Like the Americans.
Yeah.
Debacle is right.
Oh, shut up.
All right.
Right, chief political commentator for The Independent, John Rentall, joined the show to talk all things Brexit. No, well, he's there.
For The Independent what?
The Independent, John Rentall.
Oh, okay.
Who's he?
Well, John Rentall's the... political correspondent from The Independent.
I'm just reading what's written here. There's no punctuation.
Oh, I thought you were going to say The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
No, it's not. Look, I don't do the punctuation on this.
Okay.
In any case,
right.
Moving swiftly on.
Go on.
He joins Talk All Things Brexit.
Yes.
And we learn that politics can indeed be a laughing matter.
But Jeremy Corbyn was prepared to go out in the rain. Actually, it didn't rain as it happened, but he did put his...
Can you imagine him with the hood up? That would have been even worse.
Well, that...
Wasn't that funny?
Don't get me started on that one.
No.
Mike, you've been ruling your independent republic for a while now.
Yes.
So it's good. Don't push it. So it's good to know that you've realised what one of your roles actually is. Congratulations, you win a correction of the week.
Shouldn't you be able to electronically tag a car?
Quite possibly.
You know, I mean, see, I've so many
I'm
great
sure
ideas
you be,
I've
you
got
can
here.
Be able to.
I can't believe that somebody isn't paying me for this. Well, they are. Technically, but not for the ideas.
No. just not enough, because it's the best show on Talk Radio.
It is,
and it's brilliant.
Thank you very much.
Right, okay. Another one for Ms. Perrier. Mm. Earlier in the week, you were talking about fish and chips, and she came up with the most intelligent question possibly ever.
Deep fried cream egg is one of the greatest things you've ever tasted.
Oh, yum!
It's incredible.
Do you ever eat batter first? Or you just whack it in?
It's in batter. Yeah,
it's in batter.
Yeah, you can't deep fry it if it's in just chocolate. It melts, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Have you got any idea? She's not much of a cook, is Katie?
Well, I'm with Katie on this one. Yeah. I'd have asked exactly the same question.
What do you think
happens
if you drop chocolate into some really, really hot fat?
I'm never, ever, ever going to do that, so I'm never going to find out. But I now know, thanks to you and Katie.
There you go.
Right. I'm not sure whether I should be giving you an award for this. I honestly have no idea what you could have possibly meant when you said this. You win rudest comment of the week.
Mm. It's true, isn't it? I mean, if in any relationship that you're in, and I know you've only been in one all your life, so it doesn't really count, but...
I might have had a boyfriend.
Oh, really?
Before.
Oh, really?
I got married.
What? Oh, well, yeah, 32 years ago?
Yeah.
Well, what was he, kind of in the war or something? I mean, for heaven's sake. That was a bit harsh.
Yeah, it was a bit bloody harsh.
It could
harsh.
Have been the Falklands
Excuse
War.
Me.
Could have been the Falklands War.
Yeah, actually, yeah, thanks. I'm not going to... We'll discuss this one later.
Okay.
Any case, and since I have to put up with your rudeness sometimes, actually all the time, it's only fair that I get to win the next award to cheer myself up. I'm the proud winner of Most Interesting Start to a Sentence. Ooh. But not that my life's been a porn film by any stretch of the imagination, but...
Well, I'll take your word for that. Thank you very much.
Oh, 32 years married.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Too much information.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Right. Tory MP for Sutton and Cheam, Paul Scully, joined us as a guest, and I think he had an epiphany live on air.
One of the tests is that we enjoy the exact same benefits as a membership of the EU. Well, that's like sort of being a member of a golf course and then leaving it and wanting to still play on the golf course. You can't do it. Mm. You might be able to pay green fees and stuff like that, play on there, but... crikey, how bourgeois middle class of me. Sorry about that. Golf
yeah, well, you do live in Stockbroker Belt, Surrey, Paul, don't you? Absolutely kipping himself
he
here.
He was really funny. I like Paul, actually.
Yeah,
he's a good lad.
Very good.
Right, the last one for the alleged dictator.
Is it the end?
No.
It's my favourite bit of the week.
No, it's not quite the end yet. Like, calm down,
okay.
Dear.
All right.
This is the last one. You win.
Ah, okay.
Possibly ever.
Okay.
Right? So, don't interrupt me. The last one for the alleged dictator. It's time for one of our favourites, a best impression of the week.
0344 499 1000 is the number to call us on. What on earth was that?
I've got no
Sorry
idea,
for the
Mike.
Pink Panther.
Absolutely no idea. It's quite
a number. I've got your number.
Right, and now this is one of your secret admirers. Well, not so secret, actually.
Really?
She openly flirts with you.
Yeah.
We're now a bit familiar with caller Susan in Exeter.
Yes.
But perhaps she might be getting too comfortable with us. She won Perrier for most interesting noise.
To have their baby. Now, we're not going to turn them away. You can't turn a heavily pregnant lady away.
I mean, that is a true story. I certainly know of at least two people that work for me. I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
Two people that... That's horrendous,
what
wasn't it?
What was that?
She burped.
Was that a burp?
It was a burp.
I listen religiously to Talk Radio when I'm not here because it's the best thing to listen to ever. But I sort of wanted not to believe that was a burp. But
I think
it was
a burp. And in fact, she did confirm that as well. It didn't sound like a burp that
it
a woman would make.
It wasn't very ladylike,
It wasn't, no.
Susan's got such a cute voice. And then she does this like, bloke, you burp type thing.
Yeah, strange that.
And finally, now we are at the end. And finally, Daisy, this did make me laugh, this I'm going to say. Daisy wins Struggle of the Week. She asked for advice on how to deal with a tricky situation with her au pair.
I've got an etiquette question to ask you. Have we got time?
Go on.
Just thinking about the new au pair. He is delightful, absolutely lovely.
Are you expecting me to etiquette advice?
Well, it's sort of, it's a modern thing. As in, she's absolutely lovely, beautiful manners, all the rest of it. But she is on her phone.
Yeah.
In the kitchen, on sort of not just having a conversation, but a FaceTime conversation. So, you know.
Oh, so you're hearing everything.
I'm hearing
being
and
said.
Seeing. So if I'm walking behind her, whoever it is she's talking to, you know, is looking at me. And, right. And I find it really uncomfortable.
Yeah, who is she talking to?
Mostly her boyfriend.
Okay. There you go again with your first world problem. So up, grim up North London, that,
first,
isn't it?
First world problems.
Yeah, it's true.
Isn't it?
It really is. What am I going to do with my au pair? She won't get off the phone.
She did make me laugh, though.
I know.
I mean, she's such a sweetheart.
We'll
that
have to
funny.
Find out what the end result of that was.
And the au pair's Spanish, isn't she?
She is.
So, so Daisy could learn to speak Spanish and then join in with the group phone
call.
Well,
indeed. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's a good idea.
It's probably not
Obviously,
quite so annoying.
Obviously, I'm never going to have this etiquette problem.
No, you're not.
No.
You're not going to have an au pair.
I'm not going to have an au pair or etiquette for
Me
that
neither.
Matter.
That's it then. Is that the end?
Yeah.
Well, don't you have to say... We're going to be back in the Perrier Awards next week
or something.
Oh, my Lord.
Look, it wouldn't be the Perrier's if I didn't mess it up. Right,
no.
Okay. Right, okay. Reading out loud.
Yeah.
That's all for the Perrier Awards. There will be more next Friday.
Thank you.
The 2018 Perrier Awards on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
If you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio, via DAB, online or via the Talk Radio app. If you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.